From WHQR Public Radio in Wilmington, North Carolina, this is Coastline. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis Hilburn. Today is about food, not the world food supply, ethical or nutritional food choices, or even food deserts. Nope, in honor of the holiday season, including but not limited to the winter solstice, Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, Pancha Ganapati, Human Light Day, and Newtonmas. We are celebrating food today, and to help us do that, we have two of the most celebrated chefs in Wilmington. Dean Neff opened Pinpoint Restaurant in downtown Wilmington in May of 2015. Since then, it has earned the distinction of Best Fine Dining Restaurant by Wilmington Magazine, and this year, Southern Living named it one of the best new Southern restaurants. Pinpoint also hosts monthly Sunday suppers to benefit charities. Dean Neff, welcome to Coastline.
Thank you for having me.
Manna is considered one of the places to visit when celebrities come to Wilmington. Opened in 2010, the restaurant buys local whenever possible and is innovative at the bar and in the kitchen without taking itself too seriously. You know this if you've ever dined there and ordered the Berry Manna Loaf or the Beet Navy appetizer. Jameson Chavez, executive chef at Manna, started as the original sous chef, became chef de cuisine, and has now assumed the title of executive chef. And he is credited on the restaurant's website as not just being responsible for a huge part of the restaurant's buzz, but for being the go-to carpenter, mechanic, and medic. Jameson Chavez, welcome to the program.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
And we're inviting you to join the conversation. Do you have a question about your holiday menu? Give us a call on this Thursday at 910-343-1138 or email us at coastline@whqr.org. So let's begin by painting the picture of a home holiday menu. This is not something that you would create in your restaurant. This is something, if you were having a close gathering of family and friends, you might do at home. A celebratory feast. Dean Neff, let's start with you. What would that menu look like?
I think it's important to bring familiar ingredients and seasonal ingredients to your guests, but maybe update the way, you know, you're presenting those ingredients. There's the sweet potato souffle that everybody knows with marshmallows, and I don't know if people really like that or if it's something that is just has nostalgia factor, you know. But, you know, try taking sweet potatoes since they are in season and try making a beautiful pureed soup with them. Or, you know, so you're bringing those flavors still and, you know, people hopefully won't revolt because you are bringing those ingredients to the table, but you're thinking about them in a slightly different way with a new take on them.
Jameson Chavez, what would be on your menu at home?
Well, definitely try to keep it simple because you're at home. It's a lot different when trying to produce, you know, things you do in the restaurant at home.
And why is that? Is it just because you have staff in the restaurant, so it's easier?
Equipment. It's a kitchen that's designed to produce that kind of stuff. But back home in New Mexico, what would be on the table would be tamales or pozole, which is a red chili hominy soup with pork. Sometimes topped with shredded cabbage, some onions, possibly radish, usually served with a whole bunch of tortillas. And kind of any number of simple side dishes. I don't like to go too fancy. You know, you don't want to be stuck in the kitchen all day.
Right, exactly. And so thinking about that, thinking about the fact that this, it needs to be celebratory, but it also needs to be doable for your average home cook. How many, for instance, side dishes would you have, Dean Neff? What's reasonable and what becomes excessive and ridiculous?
I don't think you have to. I think you just need to provide some sort of wide offering of food. It doesn't necessarily need to be a set amount of dishes, but you need to have probably a green salad of some sort, having a soup. Squash is always in season, sweet potatoes. If you're covering that area, I think you're good. Also, something that's really great right now and being in Wilmington, having access to oysters that are in season is something that you know, so many people get really excited about oysters. And so if you bring those, it's going to be something different that, you know, most people aren't doing at their holiday party, but it's something really exciting. Also having, you know, a vegetable dish of some sort that is going to work and be substantial enough for, you know, somebody as an entire meal. I love cauliflower. I think cauliflower is a very underrated, underutilized vegetable. There's so many great things you can do with it, and that can kind of become a centerpiece vegetable dish if you put a little thought into it. You know, also having green vegetables, you know, aside from the salad, and then having some thoughtful meat preparations. You know, turkey is great if you're maybe just cooking the breast alone and you're smoking it. That's kind of the way I really – I don't like cooking whole birds, and if I do, they have to be really small.
Why is that?
There was a good analogy that I heard years ago. Somebody said you would never cook a cow whole, so why would you cook a turkey whole? Because these different muscles cook at different speeds. They require different, you know, cooking times, and so – by taking it apart, you can really control the cook time better and make sure that you're not overcooking the breast meat, for example, while you're trying to cook the leg meat through.
That makes so much sense. And when you're just you're thinking about a gathering with perhaps diverse dietary needs, Dean Neff, you just referenced the idea of having a vegetable dish that could serve as a main dish for someone. Jameson Chavez, is that something that people should think about today? I mean, have things changed enough so that there should be enough fare there for a vegetarian or vegan?
I think most definitely. We try to, at the restaurant, try to accommodate as best as possible. We don't have specifically a vegetarian plate listed on the menu, but what we do is we ask the guests what they like, dislike, and we create something from what we have on our station for them. So I think, should definitely be more accommodating for vegetarians and additions of more vegetables. Plus also, I think meat should be more of that should be more of the side dish. You know, vegetables are great, and you wouldn't have caught me saying this 6 years ago, but I'm starting to really fall in love with them.
Wow. So this is evolution here for you.
Yeah.
What's your favorite vegetable dish at this point?
I really like caramelized turnips or just a simple sweet potato mash. I'll eat sweet potatoes just about anyway, even the casserole, but I'll push the marshmallows off to the side.
You're listening to Coastline. We're sorting out holiday menu and cooking questions with two celebrated local chefs, Dean Neff, executive chef and owner of Pinpoint Restaurant on Market Street, and Jameson Chavez, executive chef at Mana on Princess Street. Both of these restaurants are in downtown Wilmington. And you can ask your own question of our chefs on this Thursday by emailing us at coastline@whqr.org, or you can give us a call at 910-343-1138. The phone lines are open. You, Dean Neff, you brought up this sweet potato souffle thing initially. Where did that marshmallow come from? Is that a throwback to the 1960s or 70s that people just haven't let go of yet? What's up with marshmallows?
That's a good question. I don't know the origin of it. I know that, you know, cooking fads, if you have any of those old Cooking Light or Southern Living volumes, you can really see an interesting progression of food throughout the years, you know, from seafood jello molds to I don't know if this is something that's carried from, you know, the 60s or it's been around for a long time. Marshmallows are great in certain applications, and I think that dish could be a great dessert. When it comes to savory dinner food, I think it really overpowers the sweet potato. I think sweet potatoes are kind of best accentuated with natural sweeteners like sorghum, maple syrup, and, you know, by covering them in marshmallows, you really lose any idea that what's underneath them is actually a sweet potato.
Do you really need to sweeten sweet potatoes with anything?
You don't. And by cooking them properly and roasting them slowly, you actually concentrate the natural sugars in the sweet potato. And so, you know, you can develop a lot of that. When I was in Asheville, we had wood-burning stoves, and we would actually pull the coals out at the end of the night and put them into a large metal trash can, and we would bury sweet potatoes and butternut squash into the embers. And then the next day, we would come and dig them out. And it's crazy how concentrated – I mean, you get flavors of molasses and sorghum from those sugars kind of naturally, you know, reducing down as they cook.
When we think about some of these other traditional war horses that wind up on people's holiday tables, the next thing that comes to mind for me is the green bean casserole. Now, are we at a point where we just need to say, you know what, nobody ever needs to make that again? Or is there a way to do this that can be updated? Why is this still a tradition, Jameson Chavez?
I don't know. People love it. They really do. They love the little French onions on top and either the cream of mushroom or cream of chicken in there with just sometimes even just the canned green beans. I've seen people use the fresh green beans. And then I don't know. I'm kind of one of those that likes it. Honestly.
So you're an open-minded guy. You are not
a snob.
It's
also something I grew up with, yeah.
Okay, so it's part of your heritage. That's understandable. You're listening to Coastline on 91.3 FM. It's a celebration, and there's some Christmas music of holiday food with two of our local celebrity chefs, Jameson Chavez of Mana and Dean Neff of Pinpoint. And they're answering your questions on this Thursday. If you have a question about how to handle any aspect of your holiday menu, you can reach us on this Thursday at 910-343-1138 or at coastline@whqr. When we come back, we'll talk to Star from Wilmington. You're listening to Coastline. You're listening to Coastline. We're not talking about figgy pudding yet, but we might get there. There's no telling. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. Today, it's all about fun with food and taking a deep dive into the creative reservoir. Put aside that green bean casserole and try something new this year. And if you need some ideas to replace the casserole, we have two of the best chefs in Wilmington, Dean Neff of Pinpoint Restaurant on Market Street and Jameson Chavez of Mana on Princess Street, both in downtown Wilmington. They're answering your menu and cooking questions on this Thursday. And you can reach us today at coastline@whqr.org or call us at 910-343-1138. The phone lines are now open. Star from Wilmington, welcome to Coastline. You're on the air.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Of course. What's your question?
Well, I was inspired by his comment about a pureed sweet potato soup, and I wanted to share a real simple recipe that I've used that I like very much, and I call it root soup. It is comprised of sweet potatoes, beets, and carrots. You pressure cook them with some ginger. When they're tender, puree them with butter and caramelized onions, and just serve it up like that. And if you use red beets, it becomes the most gorgeous color of fuchsia. For people, even people who don't like beets, like this soup. So I think that would be a suggestion for other root vegetables to serve at the holiday.
Wow. Thank you so much for that idea, Star.
Sure. It's my pleasure.
Thank you. Dean Neff, is that something that could wind up on your holiday menu at this point?
We might steal that. that sounds really, really great. Pureed soups are so easy. And one of the best things is that you don't really have to, you know, worry about how you're mincing all of your vegetables. You can kind of do a rough chop, and it's all going to get pureed anyway. So, you know, cook it down slow. Make sure you've cooked all of your roots all the way. But, yeah, that blend sounds really good. It's nice that she's using ginger in there, too. Ginger goes really well with beets and kind of freshens up. Beets can be a little bit kind of an earthy root veg, so by adding a little bit of ginger, it kind of adds a little bit of freshness to it, too. It sounds really good.
And I just want to put a bow on this whole green bean casserole thing and send it away for the rest of the discussion. Dean Neff, we heard Jameson Chavez weigh in very generously about that. But is there any way to update this kind of a dish to make it into something a little fresher, a little brighter?
I think so. I think there are a lot of good things to be discovered from reinterpreting dishes like that. And, you know, I'm not anti-green bean casserole as much as I am anti-sweet potato fluff. but, you know, I think that by thinking about things you don't necessarily like about that dish, you can sort of troubleshoot and say, you know, what can we do to make this better? If it's the cream of mushroom soup that seems like it's not a good idea, you know, you could try making a bechamel on your own. And using that, you could also try crisping up some leeks at the very end. Maybe blanching the green beans less, using fresh green beans instead of canned, can, you know, give yourself a better result. So I think, you know, if you're using great ingredients and you're putting thought into it, there are ways to update some of those older recipes. And I think, you know, Hop and John, people have known about that for a long time. But if you really take time and put thought and effort into making really wonderful Hop and John, it's pretty mind-blowing.
And for that is a traditional Southern side dish. Is that accurate?
Right. Yeah.
So for people who aren't from the South, what is Hop and John?
Hop and John is most simply put, you know, typically it's rice, peas, and when we say peas, we think of like field peas or Sea Island red peas. You'll oftentimes see bacon in there as well. But it's kind of an idea of cooking things sort of separately, bringing them together in the right proportion, and then seasoning everything really well, seasoning with bacon, seasoning with fresh herbs and, you know, aromatic vegetables minced beautifully and kind of sweated down. So
we have an email from Megan. She says, I'm hosting my second annual Christmas Eve brunch for our closest friends this year. What are your favorite brunch ideas that are suitable for home cooks? Let's start with you, Jameson Chavez.
Spoon bread is an awesome thing for brunch, because it's something that can be baked and it holds the heat really well. Quiches. It kind of – I think maybe if – depending on the amount of people you're serving, the brunch would be – that would dictate what you're going to cook, for like doing buffet style versus, you know, poaching a whole bunch of eggs. Or frying a whole bunch of eggs. You
know. And poached eggs or eggs Benedict, that can that really hold up if you've got it on a buffet line? Or is that something that needs to be kind of done immediately and served?
It should be. It's best that way.
Okay.
You could probably get away with it. I wouldn't do it.
It's not going to be what it should be.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Dean Neff, what would your ideas be for Megan?
I love the idea of frittatas. Frittatas are versatile. You can use any kind of vegetables that happen to be in season. A lot of times what I'll do too is shave potato really thinly and then sort of get a cast iron pan or skillet with a little bit of clarified butter, kind of create a layer of very thinly sliced potatoes, and then arrange them, you know, in a nice, beautiful pattern, kind of fanned around the bottom. And then you can pour your egg mixture with, you know, cheese or bacon or leeks, things like that, and then bake it at 325 until it sets up. It gets, you know, nice and fluffy. You can flip it out and then cut it into slices. You can serve it hot or room temperature. I think also with brunch, having a really wonderful seasonal salad is great. Right now, persimmons are in season here in North Carolina. And, you know, there's also lots of beautiful spinach and greens that we're seeing from different farmers. And so, you know, doing a spinach salad with persimmon and toasted chestnut or pumpkin seed and just doing a very simple vinaigrette goes a long way. I think for brunch, people don't want something really heavy. They want something that's light and it's going to make them feel energized after they eat it. And that's kind of why I think the salad's a good idea.
Are there any pitfalls with persimmons that people should know about?
That's a good question. Sound like you might be asking this from experience.
Well.
So, Yes. When persimmons are not in season and they're extremely hard, they can be very bitter. There are also a couple different kinds of persimmons. You can buy them dried. Those are typically wonderful. Fresh persimmons, when they ripen, they get very soft. Sometimes they'll even get kind of spotted black in color. They're really beautiful orange, and you'll see like black spots that begin to form. That's actually not really a bad thing always with persimmon. As they ripen and as they soften, they get really super high concentrations of sugar in the fruit. And my mom was actually in the restaurant 2 weeks ago, and I served her a persimmon salad, and she was like, "What did you do to make those persimmons so good?" And you know, it was just like we sliced them and we put them in a salad. And that was all we did. So now she's cooking with persimmons all the time.
You're listening to Coastline. We're sorting out all your holiday menu and cooking questions today with two celebrated local chefs, Dean Neff, executive chef and owner of Pinpoint Restaurant on Market Street, and Jameson Chavez, executive chef at Manna on Princess Street, both of the restaurants in downtown Wilmington. You can ask your own question of our chefs on this Thursday by emailing us at coastline@whqr.org or give us a call at 910-343-1138. And we have Charlotte from Bolivia. Welcome to Coastline. You're on the air.
Hi, Jameson and Dean.
Hi, Charlotte.
I was calling because we live in a coastal environment, and I know typically people serve turkey for Christmas as their protein, but was wondering what ideas you all had for a different sort of maybe fish dish. I grew up in New Orleans, and one of my favorite things about Thanksgiving and Christmas was my grandmother always started us off with deviled oysters.
Deviled oysters?
Yes.
Sounds delicious. So I think that, you know, there are so many great things this time of year available from the ocean. And, you know, as far as fish goes, we have this really beautiful variety of speckled trout that's kind of a close-to-shore fish. So if you're fishing around the marshes here, fishermen are catching lots of them right now. They're in season. They're very different from a mountain rainbow trout, and they're really delicious. Right now, you know, we're serving them. You can serve them skin-on or skin-off if you want. If you do serve them skin on, we, you know, always try to get the skin nice and crispy with a little clarified butter as we're cooking them. But that could make a really fun – it's always really fresh, too. When you're eating local and you're eating in season, the food is, you know, oftentimes just so much better because it's not traveling from far away. Also, I love the deviled oyster idea. I haven't tried that. It sounds really interesting. It has my gears going. But also you know, doing something along the lines of the New Orleans style barbecue oysters with Worcestershire butter and, you know, over baguette. That could be something that you typically see shrimp, but to take, you know, oysters because they're in season right now and kind of create sort of that Worcestershire hot sauce butter sauce to go over them, that would be kind of fun and coastal as well.
Jameson Chavez.
Roasting whole fish, you know.
What would be a good fish for that?
Probably, well, the trout would be good. Because, you know, depending on the size, they're, you know, anywhere from 2 to 5 pounds. flounder, drum, kind of, I would definitely visit, you know, somewhere like Mott's Channel and just kind of see what they have and ask them what came in that day. And then usually they'll sell you a whole fish. But a cool way to cook it, you know, like flounder I've done, you score it, diamond score it on both sides all the way down to the bone, and you get a nice hot pan, season with salt, pepper on both sides, and then sear it really hard. Kind of turn your heat down, and then when the skin starts to get crispy, it'll release, and then you flip it over, get it crispy on the other side, and kind of baste it. And then when it's fully cooked, those little chunks will just pull right off. You know, and you can just finish it simply with a little bit of, maybe a little bit more salt and just some lemon juice and olive oil.
Can we talk about catfish for a second? Is this something that either of you would ever do anything with? And I ask this because recently my husband and I went to a restaurant in Calabash. There's a lot of – there's Calabash-style seafood, and you guys know all about that, I'm sure. I ordered catfish, and my husband's eyes just about fell out of his head. He's like, this is not the place you do that. And it turned out to be quite wonderful because I think it was something that they pulled from the river. I don't really know. He was afraid it would be that commercial frozen variety that they right. just keep in the freezer for people like me. But is that something – how do you think about that, and how do you deal with that as a chef?
I think catfish is making a comeback, or at least I hope it is. There are a lot of problems in the way, you know, the oceans are being fished. And so from that, over the past, you know, past 10 to 15 years, there have been a lot of creative, more sustainable concepts that have come into the ingredient world and the fish world, the shrimp world, oysters. But when we talk about catfish, you know, there was a time maybe 15 years ago when we would order catfish, farmed raised, and half the time it was great, half the time it was terrible. And I think because of this problem and this ongoing sort of dilemma with catfish, catfish farmers became better at what they were doing. And, you know, here in North Carolina, there is a great catfish farm by the name of Classic Catfish, I think is the name of it. But they basically realized that by increasing filtration in their tanks and also by feeding the catfish better food, they were kind of addressing problems with, you know, unsustainable, stagnant water styles of farming. And so catfish these days is very clean, much healthier. It's really consistent. And that's one thing I have on the menu that I will not take off. And we've actually served this catfish to people, and I think their minds have been changed about it, you know, which is a good thing. We take a lot of care and love with what we do. We brine it for 2 hours in a really lemony and herbaceous brine, and then we cold smoke it in applewood, and then crust it with good cornmeal and pan fry it. And so it's really fun and really satisfying.
You're listening to Coastline. We're talking about your holiday menu and cooking questions with two well-respected local chefs, Jameson Chavez, executive chef at Manna on Princess Street, and Dean Neff, executive chef and owner of Pinpoint Restaurant on Market Street. Both of these restaurants are in downtown Wilmington, and you can ask your own question of our chefs on this Thursday by emailing us at coastline@whqr.org or calling us today at 910-343-1138. Both of you came here from other places. And Jameson Chavez, you said you're originally from New Mexico. Is that right? How did you arrive in Wilmington, North Carolina from there?
Well, the original chef at Manna, I worked with him at two prior restaurants in New Mexico. That's where I met him. One in Las Cruces, my hometown, and then one in Santa Fe. And then from there, he just called me. We parted ways, and then he called me up the summer of 2010 and was like, you want to be a sous chef again? And I was like, sure, why not? Well, you got to move to Wilmington. It's like, okay. So, yeah, here I am.
You're an agreeable guy, Jameson. And Dean Neff, you were in Atlanta for a while.
I was actually in Athens, Georgia.
Athens, Georgia.
And spent – actually, I went to culinary school in Atlanta for 2 years, worked there for a while, and then moved to Athens, Georgia, and worked at a restaurant called 5 and 10 for many years, very long time I worked there. and then eventually, after working there as long as I did, I wasn't going anywhere, so they promoted me to executive chef of the restaurant. And then a little while after that, ran into an old friend and mentor, John Fleer, and he was opening Rhubarb, which was his first restaurant, and I really wanted to be a part of that and was really excited to move to Asheville. And so he said to come on board, and I moved to Asheville. I guess that was in 2012. And so worked with him for, you know, a year or so, and then the talks of Pinpoint began, and, you know, Wilmington was the perfect location for what we were looking for.
And why is that? Because it's same state, but Asheville is a very different scene than Wilmington, North Carolina. So why did you choose Wilmington?
Well, I grew up in Savannah, Georgia, and my business partner, when he told me he was moving to Wilmington and he wanted to, you know, look for a restaurant space here, you know, he's like, you got to come visit. And so as soon as I started coming here to visit, you know, driving over the bridge and looking at downtown, it's a beautiful downtown. It kind of seems like an undiscovered kind of, you know, downtown area and city in general. And it's just such a beautiful place. There's a lot of parallels between the local seafood that you see here and in Savannah. And, you know, even just like the smells of, you know, it's like there's a lot of kind of familiar feeling things here. And, you know, I grew up in Savannah. I love Savannah. But Wilmington feels a little bit more special to me because it's not as big, you know, yet. And it probably will be sometime in the near future. But
and didn't you also collaborate on a cookbook that was actually – was that a James Beard Award-winning cookbook?
It was, yeah. Well, it was – I was kind of Hugh Atchison's assistant at that point. And so, you know, I wasn't an author of that cookbook, but we did – you know, I did recipe testing and worked on the book with him for about a year and a half. And that was a really – amazing experience for sure.
And what was the name of that cookbook?
That cookbook is A New Turn in the South. And I have one recipe in there as well, which is a shrimp and grits recipe, which I don't think I've put shrimp and grits on the Pinpoint menu.
We're going to have to talk about that when we come back from this break. You're listening to Coastline. It's a celebration of seasonal and festive food. We have chefs Dean Neff of Pinpoint Restaurant and Jameson Chavez of Mana answering your cooking questions today. You have one more segment to ask your question on this Thursday by sending an email to coastline@whqr.org or calling us at 910-343-1138. You're listening to Coastline. You are listening to Coastline. Oh, this is so festive. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis Hilburn. We are celebrating food and music today with two remarkable chefs, Dean Neff of the highly acclaimed Pinpoint Restaurant in downtown Wilmington and Jameson Chavez of Mana, also in downtown Wilmington, where the buzz never seems to die. And these excellent chefs are answering your holiday food questions on this Thursday. You can give us a call at 910-343-1138 or email us today at coastline@whqr.org. And just before we went to break, Dean Neff, you were telling us about A New Turn in the South, Southern Flavors Reinvented for Your Kitchen. You have a recipe in this James Beard Award-winning cookbook. It's a shrimp and grits recipe. And you said essentially that after putting it in that book, you walked away from shrimp and grits, at least for the time being. Can you just tell us about the recipe? What's in it?
So the recipe is, you know, I think we were using Georgia shrimp in this recipe. Anson Mills is this wonderful farm and producer of heirloom grain and seed varieties that almost went extinct, and they kind of brought them back in. And so, you know, one of the keys to this recipe is, or any recipe using grits, is to use good grits. And Anson Mills is a great source for that. But using good shrimp, the broth, you know, we use a lot of andouille sausage, just a simple smoked andouille, leek, tomato, a little fish stock, and some tomato juice, fresh tomatoes also chopped into it. And just cook everything down really slowly. Start with the starting with the andouille and the tomatoes and the leek, and cooking that down. Adding your broth into that, and then finishing at the very end with the shrimp. You want to make sure that shrimp don't cook for more than a minute or so, just till they turn pink. And you know, just go over the grits with it. It's super simple. It's not, you know, it's definitely something you can do at home. And
that, of course, now is something that we see on a lot of menus around this region. And certainly part of that is probably because it's considered a, you know, one of those basic recipes in Southern cuisine. But is there ever a point when you say, okay, this has been, it's been done, we need to move on? Like food trends like that is, for instance, there was a time when people were putting bacon in everything. Oh, look, you can put bacon on brownies. And, and is that, at what point do you say, okay, that food trend has seen it's at the end of its natural life? Jameson Chavez.
I guess when you do start to, if you start seeing it show up in Trader Joe's, it might be time.
That's a good benchmark. Dean Neff, is there anything that you'd sort of like to see fade off the radar?
I can't really think of anything specifically that needs to go, but I don't know. I think that, you know, things that we need to start doing more of would be, you know, having vegetables become more thought out just in general and using more of them and using less meat and also kind of, you know, caring about where your ingredients come from enough to, you know, ask questions about sustainability and, you know, how farms are raising your pigs and things like that too. So I don't really think, you know, trends, I guess, as soon as you kind of lose inspiration with a dish or with a trend, it's time to move on. But yeah, I think that it's kind of hard to know. Hopefully vegetables will be the next trend and they'll be here for a while.
You're listening to Coastline, talking about festive food with two local chefs, Dean Neff, executive chef and owner of Pinpoint, and Jameson Chavez, executive chef at Mana. You have just a few minutes left to get your question in on this Thursday at 910-343-1138. You can also email us at coastline@whqr.org. Kelly from Richmond, you're on the road to Kentucky?
Yes, actually it's rich land just above Wilmington. And I'm pretty familiar with the Wilmington food scene, which I hope continues to grow. But yes, I'm on I-40 on my way to Kentucky, and I listen to 91.3 every day, all the time when I'm in the car. So
that's good news.
Really
thank
interested
you.
Me.
Well, thank you. And you have a question for our chefs.
I do. I lived in Europe for a couple of years and traveled quite a bit, and so every year for Christmas we usually do kind of a theme. I lived in Sweden for a year. My parents' families were from Germany, and this year we're doing an English style Charles Dickens dinner. And I do, when I do that, a standing rib roast, usually about 6 ribs. Whenever you look at directions for a rib roast, there's 100 different ways people seem to do it. Some outcomes have been good and some outcomes have been not so good. So I would be interested to see what the chefs think of it, if they have any ideas. It comes fresh from a wonderful butcher they have in Louisville, Kentucky, where my son lives, and it's always a gorgeous piece of meat.
Okay, let's find out. Jameson Chavez, what's your best idea for a standing rib roast?
We'll definitely season it well. Don't be afraid of the salt. Letting it sit out, you know, come to room temperature. And then there's, obviously, like she said, there's many recipes. You know, some say start in a high oven and then cut it down. Some say low oven to a high oven. I've always found it best, the way I've done it is high oven. And then usually the cooking time is based on the weight.
And so what is high oven? What temperature are we talking about?
370, well, about 400, 425. And definitely let it rest. Let it rest. Let all those nice juices redistribute.
Kelly, thank you so much for that question, and good luck with your Charles Dickens dinner. I hope that goes well. Dean Neff, any comments about the standing rib roast, things that Kelly should keep in mind?
You know, as Jameson said, one of the most important things when cooking a large piece of meat is to rest it for a long time after it's been cooked. A piece of meat that's that big would, you know, could even stand 20 minutes of resting time before you slice it. So that's a good thing. Something else that I kind of found a couple years ago is using mushroom powders as kind of a crust on the outside with salt and pepper, and having it adds a really natural sort of umami flavor and gives a really delicious crust that works really well with the beef fat as it kind of renders off and begins to crisp.
And I just want to go back to ingredients for a second, because we haven't really addressed this. And Dean, you did say earlier when you were talking about shrimp and grits that Anson Mills is good company. They make the best grits. That's an important component. It's important to get that quality ingredient. And we hear that in other ways. Use a good olive oil. You know, you can't go cheap on the olive oil. And your end result is really about the quality of the ingredients that you put into it. But are there any recipes or any ingredients, any components that we can cheap out on that really don't matter? Or am I just talking to such lovers of food?
That's the hardest question anyone's ever asked me. I think, you know, vegetables, when you buy them from a farmer's market, you're not spending a lot of money really for what they are. And, you know, so spending more money on vegetables and maybe spending less money on smaller portion of good meat, you know, is a good way to go. If you're I really can't think of any other.
It all matters.
It does matter.
It all matters.
Yeah, for sure.
Jameson Chavez.
Onions. That's okay. Kind of what comes to mind is
yeah.
Just commodity onions.
Right. And we have a question from Philip who says, I just picked some cauliflower from my garden. What's something interesting I can do with it? Dean Neff.
So cauliflower, what I love to do with it is to you always want to blanch vegetables most of the time. And I think you can be kind of safe to assume with most vegetables it's a good idea to blanch them. With cauliflower, I like doing them, kind of treating them like a steak almost, and blanching them first, and then you can marinate them if you wanted to. You can also kind of create like a spice crust. And then cauliflower does really well when you put color on it. So by cooking it in, a good canola oil at first and kind of throwing in butter to let that brown and baste it as you cook it, you're going to develop a lot of beautiful flavors. A lot of times with vegetables, people neglect to caramelize the vegetable, and that adds that will make your kids eat vegetables if you caramelize them. Brussels sprouts. I mean, you know, so basting it and then finishing it with fresh herbs, and then if you were to serve it, there's a great kind of Argentinian condiment or herby vinaigrette called chimichurri, and it's a very satisfying. It has, you know, parsley and garlic and olive oil and red wine vinegar and chilies, and you just create this really simple vinaigrette with that, and you can use that to finish off the cauliflower after you've pan roasted it. You could also grill it, but you want to start with that blanching, kind of spicing it, and then roasting it or grilling it.
Jameson Chavez.
Boiling vegetables, I don't think. Definitely the color. Adding the color definitely helps. You know, simply roasted cauliflower or, like Dean was saying, steaks or even like a roasted cauliflower mash. You know, it's a good substitute for mash. But I think it's best when you keep the texture and add the color, like Dean said.
You're listening to Coastline, talking about holiday food with Dean Neff and Jameson Chavez, and we have LaVon from Wilmington. Welcome to Coastline. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hi there. What's your question?
So I am in a situation which I'm looking forward to. It is just going to be my wife and I for Christmas this year, and I'm wondering if you guys have some recommendations for a intimate and sweet dinner for two.
Dean Neff. Two-person holiday meal.
I think that can be a really happy way to spend the holidays for sure. You know, doing this pureed soup that we talked about at the beginning, kind of having maybe multiple courses and treating it less like a buffet line, and you know, having a soup, having a salad, and really thinking about the components of the salad. We didn't really talk a whole lot about meat, but I love roasted lamb leg. You can also kind of grill that and serve it medium rare, even, you know. Having it, I guess, more plated than buffet style, I think would make it more special, and it would be easier since it is a two-person meal. Also, incorporating, you know, seasonal ingredients that are fun and really great right now. Satsuma oranges are in season, the tangerines at the store, pomegranates. Incorporating these things into your salad would be fun and exciting and different and still seasonal.
We only have a few minutes left, so let's hit a couple of things here. First of all, a good go-to appetizer that impresses people but is pretty simple to prepare. Dean Neff.
Oysters Rockefeller.
Okay. Jameson Chavez.
I am totally drawing a blank right
now. That's okay. So we're just going to do rapid fire here. A good rule of thumb for home cooks who, for instance, I think Ina Garten says things like, the day of, it's all about assembly. You shouldn't be doing that much cooking the day of. Is there anything that is a good takeaway for people to remember when they're putting together their holiday menus?
Mise en place. Everything in its place. Do everything you can beforehand as much as possible. It takes away the stress. That's how we run the restaurant.
It's all about preparation.
Most definitely.
Dean Neff.
Custards make great desserts. They can be done 3 days ahead, and they can be in the fridge ready to roll. A sharp knife is really crucial at home. A lot of people neglect to have a sharp knife at home. I think just, you know, thinking about seasoning food and thinking about seasoning is more than just having salt or not having salt. There's acid that goes into it. There's texture. There's the amount of fat in a dish and creating balance through what you're creating.
Is Baked Alaska worth it?
Yes.
All right. So take off the chef hat for a second and just nobody can see you. You're in the dark. Nobody can hear you. Nobody's listening. This is your dirty little secret. What do you really like to eat? What's your favorite food? The non-chefy thing. Jameson.
I love pepperoni pizza.
Pepperoni pizza. That's
but also awesome. Club sandwiches.
Okay. Dean Neff.
This is so tough. I eat cereal like no one's business. And I think, you know, any variety of cereal, including Golden Grahams, if they're around, I'll eat a lot of those.
Now, both of you are involved with fundraisers from time to time for charities in the area. We've been spending this hour talking about festive food, and we have the luxury of doing things like this and engaging in festive food. But for those who don't, there are places around this area like the Good Shepherd Center, Mother Hubbard's Cupboard, the Food Bank of Central and Eastern North Carolina. What do you guys do to benefit some of the great local charities? Jameson.
Donate. You know, pre-prepared food to like the Red Cross or the Salvation Army. we donated some of the stuff on Thanksgiving, and they were very grateful. Providing them with ingredients at places like Good Shepherd or Salvation or Red Cross because they have the means to prepare those items.
Dean Neff.
We do Sunday suppers, and we've been doing them for about 10 months now, and we were doing them every Sunday, and now we're just doing them one Sunday a month, and they raise money for various community nonprofits. We've raised money for the Food Bank of Central and Eastern North Carolina. But just talking about food and food insecurity, I think, is a good thing always, and we can always do better.
And we'll put some of that information on our website along with this post, and if anyone wants to get in touch with you, we'll have a way for them to do that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's this edition of Coastline. Dean Neff, Jameson Chavez, such a pleasure having both of you with us today.
Thanks for having me.
It was fun.
Coastline's executive producer is Cleve Callison. Producer is Isabel Shepherd. Technical director is Ken Campbell. Today's show was engineered by Caleb Covington. And that wraps up Coastline for 2016. We'll look forward to seeing you next year, beginning the first week in January. Have a happy holiday season and a spectacular new year. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn for Coastline.